Welcome to the AR Show, where I dive deep into augmented reality with a focus on the technology, the use cases, and the people behind them. I'm your host, Jason McDowell. Today's episode is a bonus listen. After I concluded my interview with Carl Guttag, we started talking about Apple and their rumored pursuits of VR and AR devices. Let's get straight to it. You know, we didn't talk much about Apple, other than you noted that they have to follow the same rules of physics as everyone else.
Yeah. Well, I it's interesting. I heard the Scoble, you had a Scoble on a couple of shows ago, and it was an interesting discussion. He talked about a flip-down visor VR, and I'm seeing a lot of, you know, several solid rumors that Apple's looking at using Sony OLEDs. We're back to the same thing. If you say it's OLEDs, like Sony, Apple has also bought this company called Iconia that was working on diffractive waveguides. So when I first thought about it, I thought, well, it makes sense. They're probably using Iconia. But Iconia, as we talked about, with diffractive waveguides, can't be using OLEDs. So if they bought Iconia, but they're using micro-OLEDs, then that means that the micro-OLEDs are not going to Iconia because physics says that won't work. So you sort of get into those things. Now, they could be doing Iconia for a mirror. That wasn't what they were doing originally. They were originally doing basically diffractive waveguides, if you look at the patents and stuff. So when you look at Apple, I really think that in some ways, Tim Smith is held hostage by the... I feel like he's kind of hostage to everyone saying AR is going to be the next big thing, and he can't look like a Luddite. So a lot of executives will say things because they think it's the right business thing to do. And so does he have the depth of conviction? I know they're spending money. They're going to cover the bet because even if it's unlikely, we have to protect the market. We have to protect ourselves. And they got so much money that they can afford to cover bets. And who knows, maybe the bets will pay off in different ways. You know, as a part-time futurist at times too, I like to think about what the next big thing will be. And, you know, too, but it's just like I don't see how you get from where we are today with the technology we are at today and get to that. You know, you could argue back in the, you know, Turing, what he came up with his ideas back before World War II, the Turing machine and all that. He had Colossus and stuff, which, by the way, I'm highly recommending. Whenever the COVID and stuff lives, everyone should go to Bletchley Park at least once in their life. And then there was other guys past him, Welchman and a bunch of other guys. I'm a big fan of what they did at Bletchley Park. But it's still, that's 1940s. We didn't get PC. They were building prototypical stuff, and soon after the war, they had stuff. Soon in the late 40s, they were doing ENIAC and all that stuff. I'm a bit of a used to be a student of computer history, but look, we're still not getting PCs till 20, 30 years later. I just think it's and some of these problems are not quite, maybe perpetual motion, maybe unsolvable. In other words, it's one thing to say like traveling faster than the speed of sound in the Earth's atmosphere. Well, it can be done. It's not economical. We've proven that. It's not fuel efficient. There's a lot of things that are wrong. It's more practical than Hyperloop. That's a whole other subject that should be fun. But Hyperloop is like totally bizarre physics. I'm really concerned about America's youth when they think Hyperloop is possible, because it seems like they don't get even basic physics. So there are things that may suggest that some things in AR that people are imagining that they require new physics. They require physics that don't exist. And so that concerns me a bit. But I do think, you know, I think there are real uses of it, but I'm not sure that. So, but anyway, back to Apple. Sorry, went far afield there. But back to Apple. I think they're a little bit hostage by the fact they can't say it doesn't exist. Nobody wants to look like a Luddite. I'm willing to raise my hand and say I'm willing to look like a Luddite because I don't think that works. I'm willing to call Emperor's New Clothes on some of this stuff. You know, yeah, you could build VR. I can't get it to all fit with Apple. Like the liftable visor VR stuff. You know, you can do pass-through AR, which is cameras with VR, but it doesn't feel very Apple-like. You're not going to go out in public that way. It would be dangerous to be walking around with that. You know, if you're walking out in traffic and whatnot, you get killed because what you don't realize, your peripheral vision and all that stuff is, as we always say in this business, you know, it's to keep you from being eaten by the tiger. Well, that peripheral vision has no acuity at all, but it's very motion sensitive. That's what keeps you from getting hit by a truck. Okay, that same thing that keeps you getting eaten by a tiger also keeps you getting hit by a truck. You start to lose all that stuff, and it doesn't behave right. And so you lose that stuff when you start wearing a VR headset, and your chances of getting killed just go up astronomically. So I don't know where Apple's going there. I think Apple's, you know, I don't know if they're going to cry COVID. That's a classic thing when somebody falls behind now. They just cry COVID and say, well, our plans changed. My guess is they're going to come up, and at the end, Tim Cook or somebody will say, it's just not Apple enough. Yeah, we solved it better than anybody could have. Trust us. Our labs came up with the solution. But it just wasn't Apple. It didn't have the rounded corners we liked. You know? Sorry, a little pejorative there. But that's my best bet is they're going to find it's not quite good enough. They don't want to do a Google. They don't want to be, you know, Google kind of made a fool of themselves with Google Glass. HoloLens, they're kind of patching it up as a loss leader from a business standpoint. They're basically is basically a loss leader for Azure cloud services. The military thing was $500 million, but they're spending billions. So it's not a moneymaker directly. And the kind of the industrial side is working kind of, you know, is, I think there are some real uses there. So they're kind of getting something out of it that way. But I don't know that, you know, it's definitely no iPhone business, and it's never going to be. So, and I think Apple's going to kind of have to come to reckon with that, you know, Pokemon Go, I mean, Niantic made billions. I mean, it's incredible what they've done with the Pokemon Go mostly. I don't think the Harry Potter thing did quite as well. But they've done some stuff with that. But that might be more appropriate for more of a mirror solution where it's only a $100 adder or something, or less than $100 where you add it to your phone. That's not going to be, but that's once again going to be people playing Pokemon. That's not going to be every mom pop and whatnot. So I think I think people are just expecting too much that, back in my day, the Apple of the day was AT&T. AT&T back in the 60s and 70s, back early on. IBM. People forget. IBM's almost gone bankrupt. When I grew up, when I was in college, there were only two big computer companies that counted worth a flip. IBM and Digital Equipment Corporation. They were the only two companies in computers that counted. And most people in college thought DEC was going to win the PC war. If you had polled us in the 1970s, when I was in college, who was going to win the PC war? Because we all knew PCs were coming. Any of us in electrical engineering and stuff. We all thought it was going to be DEC. DEC had all the insight. They were building the smaller, more personal computers where IBM was building big mainframes. And today, DEC was bought by Compaq, who was then bought by HP. And IBM is almost gone bankrupt. So, you know, it's tough. But those guys were seen as gods. It was amazing. People thought IBM could do anything. They could do just anything. They were doing amazing things where they took a block of ceramics with layers and layers of silicon, probably a decade before anybody else could do it. That's the same kind of thing you see in an iPhone now, where they do some amazing things inside an iPhone with how thin the layers are and the kind of things they do to make those iPhones and get as much crammed in there is amazing. A lot of other companies can't touch it. Of course, it's all done in China now, so you got to think about that. That's my fear for U.S. Technology is that you look at how much of this stuff, how much has gone to China. I'm worried about micro-LEDs. If I want to buy a micro-LED today, well, it's Jaybird Display. They're the only one who is getting ready to ship it. I can literally put money down and get one. And they're the only one. They're in China. Something our military guys should be thinking about is where are we going to get our strategic materials? Where's America? You know, where are they going to do that? And that's nothing against Jaybird. They're working hard. They're doing good stuff. But there is a concern there that, you know, is America going to keep doing these fun things? You know, and now we've got Intel's going to TSMC for fab. Look at that. What if China decides that, you know, it's just like Hong Kong, it's another territory? They already believe that.
China could almost pull a Huawei and say, you know what? nobody in the West gets anything out of TSMC. Granted, TSMC is in Taiwan. From China's perspective, they're long lost territory. But there is that risk that China says, okay, you know what? The West doesn't get anything out of our factories.
Yeah. There's a real concern there. So I'm also big on thinking the military, certainly U.S. government should be putting stuff. I think micro LEDs, like when I look at military product, I think micro LEDs are the way to go. I think the government should be putting more money in it. I'm an advocate of that, that there are things that we had DARPA. DARPA did some really good things. Particularly, I mean, you forget the internet's the one everyone talks about. They did phenomenal stuff for us. People forget the space program. People always talk, when I was growing up, people talked to, why shouldn't we just put everything into welfare? Why are we doing all this space stuff? The space program basically funded the semiconductor industry. You got to look at where semiconductors were in the 1960s. The space program did such stuff and gave goals and stuff to do that. So I am for basic research. I am for fundamental research. Now, most of what companies do today is not even compared to what it was when I started out. There's very little fundamental research done in big companies today. Apple, that I can see, I don't see a lot of fundamental. Maybe in the AI and the software area, they are doing some fundamental stuff. But when you look at hardware, very little in iPhone is fundamental stuff that came out of Apple. It's really Apple putting things together better than anyone else. I don't see that fundamental. Matter of fact, if you look in the AR industry, my joke is if you can dream it in AR, Facebook's already tried it. They filed a paper or a patent on it. Facebook, if you look at it now, I don't know, maybe Apple's doing a much better job of hiding it. But if you look in terms of papers published, accumulation of some of the smartest minds in AR and in VR, Facebook's been spending the money and accumulating the people. If the problem could have been solved, I think if just money and smart people would solve the problem, Facebook should have already solved it by now. So I'm not convinced that just Apple is going to, and bring back to Apple, I'm not convinced Apple is going to be the be-all, end-all solution to all this. That all of a sudden, magically, I think people have haloed Apple. They're still human, you know. They're still a bunch of humans. They're still a bunch of individuals that they're not godlike. You know, people are putting these godlike things. It's like I mentioned Turing. I always said, you know, I looked at the Imitation Game movie, and I know the history of Bletchley Park quite a bit, and some of the other people like Bill Tutt. You know, people they turned. I always say that Turing was turned into a comic book superhero. That is so almost nothing. Other than the names of the people were real. Almost very little of what actually they did and what actually they were doing was done by the people whose names were in that movie. So I liked it as an entertainment experience, but from a history, it's total garbage. It helped, you know, Turing was a genius and very, very important to the whole process. But they ascribed to him stuff that maybe a dozen people had done. He wasn't one person didn't do what they showed in the movie, you know. So, you know, he was still a human being. So anyway, I think Apple, I know Apple's working on it, but I think they're still fighting with the same physics as everyone else. So then the question is, do they risk doing a Google Glass, which could be very embarrassing to them? You know, that veneer as I jumped down that road of deck and IBM, I have that in my own company. We have discussions on, will Apple be number one forever? And I'm like, when I grew up, it was AT&T and IBM and Exxon Mobil, or Exxon back then, because they didn't even merge with mobile. So you had Exxon and IBM and that. And in computers, we thought, well, maybe this DEC had a real hand because when things shifted to small. But, you know, the problem you have is that you get into this, you know, Apple's even found it, that they can only grow the iPhone market so big. First, it was unit sales dropped, and then it was total sales dropped. Because, you know what? At some point, you become the economy. At some point, you can only grow so big. And sometimes the next guy coming in, this is, I call it the attack from below. And I've seen this many, many times. Like, you saw the PC undid the mainframe, right? The idea of the attack from below is, and this is where IBM, even though they kind of invented the IBM PC, I mean, they were kind of reacting to Apple, and they didn't really hold it the way they did. IBM PC was very different in the way they treated it than the rest of the mainframe, because they would have controlled the whole thing. They would have provided the software. They wouldn't have gone to Microsoft. They wouldn't have used an Intel process. They've done their own process, their own software, their own anything, if it was traditional IBM. So they would have controlled the thing much more. Now, whether they won or not, who knows? But anyway, the thing with attack from below is that oftentimes that smaller thing takes it out. You can kind of see it with the phone. The phone is taking out the, you know, the PC took out the mainframe, and now the phone is kind of, from a business standpoint, taking over the business opportunity that the PC used to fill. And so the attack from below works because the guy coming up sees a big market. The guy, when that market's first starting, the guy from above sees a tiny market. They have different lenses. The guy coming up sees a huge market. If I can just get a fraction of this business, I'm golden. The big guy says, why should I waste my time on it? Why should my board waste my time on it? I mean, I saw it at TI. TI missed the semiconductor. TI invented the semiconductor industry, was the largest semiconductor company in the world. They looked at, I had a VP, guy who founded, Jerry Rogers, who founded Cyrex, okay? When I told him, I looked under a microscope and I told him, I said, I've already got an Intel and a Motorola chip I'm looking at. Why are we doing this CPU? He read me the Riot Act about how Intel was nothing compared to TI and all this stuff, and read the Riot Act to me. Well, you know, where, you know, TI is still around, but they're an analog company. They're not even really in digital at all anymore. They totally miss CMOS. I was 5 to 10 years behind the state of the art, or the competitors in IC technology when I was working there. And looking back on it, I didn't know at the time. Probably gotten out, but at the time, I knew we could feel we were behind, but you don't realize how far behind you are. Anyway, my point here being is that most companies they try to look. Another great example of this is, I remember Michael Eisner bragging how he didn't get involved in the Time Warner deal. You may remember AOL bought, you know, in Time Warner, they merged. Well, I always said a fake company, a company with a lot of stock value, but no real product. No, you looked at their business, it was nothing, and they were not making anything. But a fake company bought out a real company, Time Warner. And I remember Michael Eisner bragging how he didn't fall for that, you know, how he stayed out of it. And then he turned around and bought Go.com, which was a total disaster. He spent billions of dollars on Go.com, which was a joke. So it's like they still succumb to it. I think sometimes you got the people yelling in your ears. The reason why I bring this up is you got Tim Cook, people yelling in your ears. AR is the next big thing. See all these articles and see all this stuff and all. And at some point, Tim Cook says, well, I'm not going to be a Luddite. It must be AR. But like I said, I happen to go on a stage with anybody and let's argue it. Let's go say, well, how are you going to solve? Here are my list of 20. Tell me how you're going to solve these things.
I look forward to that debate. Before you go, I want to tell you about the next episode. In it, I speak with Kiran Sinha. Kiran is the co-founder and CEO of Illumix, a company building an AR-first mobile gaming platform. They've already found a lot of success with their first title, Five Nights at Freddy's AR Special Delivery. In this conversation, Kiran shares how she thinks about creating compelling stories and gameplay for mobile AR. We talk about how the Five Nights at Freddy's franchise is a great fit for AR and why she's going to make her underlying mobile game platform available to third-party developers. I think you'll really enjoy the conversation. Please follow or subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss this or other great episodes. Until next time.